Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning. It's lovely to have you with us. This week, as you will see, is the beginning of Christian Aid Week, and so there are envelopes in the pews to enable anyone who would like to donate to Christian Aid Week to do so. We no longer do a door-to-door collection around our district, but rather do the collection here on a Sunday and also then have an opportunity to give whenever we gather together for lunch after church. So please do, if you haven't already made plans, do consider staying for soup lunch immediately after worship this morning, and the proceeds from the lunch will go towards Christian Aid Week. And thanks to those who have prepared the lunch and those who will serve it to us after church. Thanks also to Cian for playing for us today. We much appreciate it. And Cian will be with us again next week. I'd now invite David Swan to come forward, as he would like to speak to you on behalf of the Fellowship Subcommittee about a treasure hunt.
Morning, everyone. I'm sure as you all are aware or have been seeing in the announcements over the last few weeks, this Friday night we're having a treasure hunt in aid of Mbangwane. We're also tying this up as with the Fellowship Subcommittee as the Family Fun Night. You remember over the last number of years we've went to different places, Castle Larchdale, Barnscourt, last year Lochgall. Well, this year it will be Friday night here in the church grounds, and we have a bouncy castle for the kids. The barbecue food will be served from 7:30. The treasure hunt starts at 6:30, and you can come any time after that up to probably 8:00. And Margaret and Peter has a route done out that takes approximately an hour to an hour and 15 minutes, depending how good you are at getting the clues. But if you feel that your kids wouldn't be settled in the back of the car and would get fed up, just come along to the barbecue. We'll have a bouncy castle, and it'll be a good night of fellowship, and it'll give you a chance to get to know the people in the gallery, to get to know the people on the other side of the church. So these are not wee flyers, these are an invitation. And if you haven't already got one, please pick one up at the back of the church or the vestibule out here when you're going out, and invite your friends and family and make it a successful night, and also raising funds for Mbangwane. Primary school children for the barbecue are free. Secondary school children up to further education is £5, and unfortunately everyone else to take part in the barbecue and also the treasure hunt will be £10, but the money is going to Mbangwane. So please come along. Don't stress out on Friday night about what you're cooking. Let us stress out on how we're going to get these all fed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. And so we come to our start of our Christian Aid service as we sing a modern hymn that's been based on Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us stand and worship God together.
Thank you.
Let us come before our great God in prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, who knit us together in our mother's wombs, who saw us before we were fully formed, who made us fearfully and wonderfully, who knows that when cut, we all bleed red. Hold fast and lead all those in need, hem in their lives behind and before, and knit us together as brothers and sisters, giving us a glimpse of the wonderful friendships yet to be formed. Search us, O God, and know all our hearts. Test us and know our thoughts. See if there are any hurtful ways in us and lead us all in the way everlasting. We give thanks in advance, O God, for the many acts of kindness, generosity and love which will take place this Christian Aid Week. For the bowls of soup, pots of coffee and pieces of shortbread. For the acts of worship and the stories shared. For the prayers spoken and the campaign postcards signed. We give thanks for the generosity of neighbours and friends, for the millions of envelopes weighted with coins or light with notes, for the heads and hearts that will be changed. We give thanks for calls for justice, for the stand against oppression, and for the fight to end poverty once and for all. Most of all, we give thanks for the millions of lives which will be transformed so that together the whole earth may flourish as you intended it to do. This we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our first scripture reading is taken from the New Testament this morning and will be read for us by Rosemary Clements. It is James chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And this can be found on page 290 of the Bibles in the pews. Rosemary is our Christian Aid rep in First Oma.
My brothers, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, you must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance. Suppose a rich man wearing a gold ring and fine clothes comes to your meeting, and a poor man in ragged clothes also comes. If you show more respect to the well-dressed man and say to him, have this best seat here, but say to the poor man, stand over there or sit here on the floor by my feet, then you are guilty of creating distinctions among yourselves and of making judgments based on evil motives. Listen, my dear brothers, God chose the poor people of this world to be rich in faith and to possess the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. But you dishonor the poor. Who are the ones who oppress you and drag you before the judges, the rich? They are the ones who speak evil of that good name which has been given to you. You will be doing the right thing if you obey the law of the kingdom, which is found in the scripture. Love your neighbour as you love yourself.
Thank you, Rosemary. Could I invite the children to come forward to the front? Thank you. Good morning. Great to have you here with us this morning. Now, I have a competition that I would like two people to take part in. I need one boy and one girl. Okay, up you come. And one girl. Lillian, up you come. I want to just rearrange the furniture here. All right. You stay here, Lillian. That's right. Right, Charlie, you're there. Perfect. Sweeties. Do you like sweeties? You like sweeties? Good. Well, we're going to have a competition. And the competition is that you have to take the sweeties that are in this bowl and you have to sort them into different piles. In fact, we'll move those out of the way. And you have to sort them into different piles by size. Okay? So there's some square ones, there's some rectangular ones, and there's some oblong ones. And you have to sort them by size into different piles. Okay? Do you think you'll be able to do that? The one who gets the most done, the winner. Right? You ready? Oh, one more thing. Lillianne, could you do it with one hand behind your back, please? Yeah. You have to do it with one hand behind your back. Charlie, you're able to use both hands. All right, is that okay? You feeling all right about that? Okay. Okay, ready, steady, go. Oh, here, Charlie, I think you need a wee bit of an extra hand here. I'll help you here. What do you think about that? Oh, Lillianne, I think you need to step back a few paces. You step back a few paces, that's it. Charlotte, we'll bring that over closer to you. That's good. That's good. How are you feeling about this, Lillianne? Do you think this is fair? You do think it's fair? Yeah, well. You don't think it's fair, Catherine? Do you not think it's fair? What do you think, girls? Do you think it's fair? What about you boys? Do you think it's fair? You do think it's fair? Now, I wonder why that might be. Oh, well, that's very good, Leslie Ann, the way you're doing that. Or Lily Ann, even. Yes, that's lovely. That's lovely. Charlie, aren't you? You're wonderful, Charlie. Look at all of these sweeties you've got all sorted. And I know they're not really quite in the right sort of set, but that's okay. We'll let you away with it. So, there's the end. So, who got the most sweeties? Charlie got the most sweeties, Lily Ann. You didn't get quite so many sweeties. But I have to say, Lily Ann's piles are very neatly organised. They're very neatly organised, whereas maybe we could discriminate a little bit here and disqualify some of Charlie's, but Charlie has won because he got more sweeties. Lillianne, do you think that was fair? Why was it not fair? He had two hands and you only had one. What other things happened? What other things happened? What did I do? I was helping Charlie, and he was the one that was already in the lead, wasn't he? Because he had both hands, and that wasn't really very fair. Sure, it wasn't. And you wouldn't like it if that had been you guys up here. But Lillianne continued on with her task, and she has got a lot of sweeties there, and we're so pleased about that. She's even sorting them into colours, I'm telling you, Emma Jane. She must be wonderful in her bedroom, sorting everything out. All right, and we'll not say anything here. All right, well, thank you both very much for taking part in this task. I'm going back and have you a wee seat, and I'm going to put them all back in the bowl, and then you can take them out to Children's Church and have one or two. Whoever's on Children's Church can ration them, just one or two, in case they don't eat their lunch. And what we're going to do now is to watch a video where we see, again, more unfairness between children. Watch the video and see.
Lots of girls around the world don't go to school. Girls like Kadiatu, who lives here in Sierra Leone in West Africa. They may have to do household work, like washing clothes or walking to fetch the water for the family. And preparing food for their little sisters and brothers. But going to school and getting an education can transform the lives of girls. and boys around the world.
Good afternoon, everybody. I am Jennifer Konamando-Favor-Kane. Before these days, our forefathers never recognized women as people and good people in the community. But in our own generation now, women should be leaders.
4, 5.
Educating girls is not an option but necessity. So please, our parents, do send your girl children to school. When you educate a girl, you have educated the whole nation.
Kariatu is now in class 6. She loves playing football, basketball, and skipping rope with her friends. Her favourite subject is science. She wants to become a doctor. Could you stand hand in hand with your global neighbours and speak up for young people?
So there we go, boys and girls. A picture of a movie about a little girl called Kariatu, who a lot of girls in her country aren't allowed to go to school. How would you feel, girls, if your brothers, and we don't have any, but you two have, if your brothers got to go to school and you didn't? You'd be cross, wouldn't you? You'd be disappointed, because you want to go to learn. You want to go with everyone to learn. We want boys and girls to be educated together. And so Christian Aid is seeking to support schools in a place called Sierra Leone in Africa, to help them to send both boys and girls to school so that they both get an education and both are able then to go on to have careers. So we give thanks for all that's being done in order to help fairness in the world so that all young people, no matter whether they're boys or girls, whether they're rich or poor, are able to go to school and get a good education. So don't ever take your education for granted. When you go to school, remember that it's a privilege to go to school, to enjoy it and to learn as best as you can, and to think of those boys and girls in other countries who struggle to be able to go to school, and do all that we can to help them. We're now going to sing the next hymn, which is hymn 568. And after this, it's time for Children's Church.
Thank you.
come now to our second scripture reading, which is from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 8 to 22, and this will be read for us by Valerie Rowan. Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 8. This can be found on page 56 of the Bibles in the pews.
The Israelites are treated cruelly in Egypt. Then a new king who knew nothing about Joseph came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, "These Israelites are so numerous and strong that they are a threat to us. In case of war, they might join our enemies in order to fight against us and might escape from the country. We must find some way to keep them from becoming even more numerous." So the Egyptians put slave drivers over them to crush their spirit with hard labor. The Israelites built the cities of Pithom and Ramesses to serve as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed the Israelites, the more they increased in number, and the further they spread through the land. The Egyptians came to fear the Israelites and made their lives miserable by forcing them into cruel slavery. They made them work on their building projects and in their fields, and they had no mercy on them. Then the king of Egypt spoke to Shipra and Puah, the two midwives who helped the Hebrew women. "When you help the Hebrew women give birth," he said to them, "kill the baby if it is a boy, but if it is a girl, let it live." But the midwives feared God and so did not obey the king. Instead, they let the boys live. So the king sent for the midwives and asked them, "Why are you doing this? Why are you letting the boys live?" They answered, "The Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They give birth easily and their babies are born before either of us gets there." Because the midwives feared God, he was good to them and gave them families of their own. And the Israelites continued to increase and become strong. Finally, the king issued a command to all his people: "Take every newborn Hebrew boy and throw him into the Nile, and let all the girls live." Amen.
Thank you, Valerie, for that scripture reading, which also shows us how there was discrimination against boys, and in particularly at that time in Egypt. We're now going to watch a little clip from Sierra Leone about a midwife called Judith. It might take a wee minute or two for the video to run.
"Me mama and me papa, they born me, then me mama go. They just hit me at the side. Look, you picking, I go. I've been there with me papa, say, from four. My father abandoned me because I was pregnant. What thing be happen to me, I no go ever amend it to anybody.
Facility e nyawo magaga na onye keke e odunya gogo asko to go to mama ati ngi e mate fa wi kai ta wa ina se gaga to nya baga si ata yin fo na se yi e bi ro te ke nya ba ai me ye ge a gogo le school ji da ya wi na wi ta de nyama na nya ge hin de ji.
Judith sitting here now. I was a farmer. During the war, I began to practice medical. It was really not easy for me. Nobody to support me. But because of my hard working, we sat to the exam and I was successful.
I was 21. Malo heart is straining, my heart is down to me every moment. ete mi na malo ha edi nya ni na ho mo e makweku na ho lo ma edi nya na mo e ma ho mo le bu na ma agwa kuku ke lo bi do ti bi na sa ma tinya ma vlo ni ji fe de pa nya gu e gba le ha ti ju ko du ile ji na go du ile na teti e ko na me ana de bu aye nya ho atemi na ta na ti ka ga nya ma ka go mo ya ge anya lu ka ti ga ga ge katida te katika gadi aga anya lu vego nyine vego ka ga yinyine na ka go soko ga gala ka kuiga fo sinyine na de wo soko ga gala ku ta be agere be ma alu imbe ahani tem na nya gwa nya lu na ha o Friday vu ma ta na hani ana wo no si eye wo teju hospital eye wo lu teju du na gwi ke eye wa ha mo mo dalu eji so fe mi awa hun le go
September, I became an in charge in this village. The community, they were not working together. This place was so dirty. When we want to deliver at night, we bring torchlights to do delivery.
We don't know that all the apena. Martin, if for where that Martin in my year, Martin in my year, apena, but I'm not aware of it. Because now, hospital greet a young. Suffering a law, he in a law, grandma, mamma, take you, Katami. Christian ate Katoa, come to your watiama. Time not to work at home, meet you, Riga, mamma. You're meeting up a mugu to mamma, your mamma, ho. And when I'm my enormous time, Billy Rogam got some at Amo promise, Bido. Band I am Mudena. Told you, Moody, you're meeting a home. Say a pillow, Vimogamma, Moko, Vicka. Mikwe ya handa metuwa mara mogama kamungu tu maka mulita agole gana abipada.
Auntie Juan came, she empowered us. Our forefather says, woman does not need education. Woman should be at the backyard. I tell them, I say, no. They want women to come front. They told us that women should be chief in this village.
Ni pote go nyama akone la kwawa Christian e that way faju obe bawe na mamu e awa makure wa mahege ma
we bought shovels, rakes, wheelbarrows. They are teaching us how to do hand washing properly.
Mummy ti gbate call go hospital hande ma ke anti julit ke elega makede ka enumu pele aya kopo e gbokwa gbokwa na tamuri lo ga kopo na gura ma ha si mu e kopo na mugeda Christian e jide e betutu ko ibu ya mugama omo hospital je elu obi do mugu a sofeje hu puti gonya ma ko ne la pawa galema asuma na bangale julit ta bi mi ngo du igi ya adila nyame ga aluwa gwe.
That child was delivered by me. I feel so happy when I see that child growing. I feel so proud. She's very, very heartrending when somebody delivers and the child dies. Since I came here, live with me, it has not yet happened. With the help of Christian aid, God is going to take us through. I'm asking everybody listening to my voice, looking me in the video. We need a help in Sierra Leone, especially this part of this country. I need help from you people, especially women. Women are dying of born childbearing. Children are dying, under 5 children are dying. Because of poverty. So people, anyone hearing my voice, we are suffering. Please help us. Please help us.
A remarkable, empowering video of midwife Judith, who with the help of Christian Aid received further training that enabled them to safely deliver babies in their village, and also to build a hospital and a clinic there. And that's done with the help and the support of Christian Aid. I don't know about you, but I know whenever I watched that video the first time, and even now, I have a tear in my eye. I just see the poverty of the people and the struggles that they have in order to bring their children safely into this world. So we're going to take some time now to pray for the people that we have heard about in the video. Margaret Cummings is going to come forward and lead us in prayer. The response through the prayers will be when Margaret says, "We pray, loving God," then we reply, "Wipe away every tear from their eyes." And that's a promise that we have from Jesus in the book of Revelation, that one day there will be a day when there will be no more tears, no more death, and no more dying. But until that day comes, we must work tirelessly to bring it about. So Margaret, please come and lead us in prayer.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Compassionate and loving God, it is with joy that we give thanks for Nurse Judith, for the difference she has made to her community, delivering babies safely and reassuring worried mums-to-be. We thank you for her courage, her determination, her hope, and her faith. It is with joy that we give thanks for Christian Aid and Christian Aid's partners, who are making a difference in the lives of thousands of women in Sierra Leone, providing training, health care, and helping women to raise their voices. It is with joy that we give thanks for Christian Aid Week and their volunteers, and for all who give their time and talent to make it happen. The opportunity to be a witness to the risen hope of Jesus in our communities. And yet, God, our joy is not yet complete, for there is much sadness in the world. We bring to you the concern of our hearts, close to home and many miles away, things that move many to tears. We pray, loving God, wipe away every tear from their eyes. For the thousands in Sierra Leone who lost loved ones to Ebola, for the orphans without security or love, for the survivors enduring stigma and shame, we pray, loving God, wipe away every tear from their eyes. For the pregnant mothers living in fear of what labour might bring, for the mothers with babies who did not survive or died in infancy, for the fathers and children who have lost a loved one in childbirth, we pray, loving God, wipe away every tear from their eyes. And may their tears of sadness move us to fruitful frustration with the unacceptable systems, the unquestioned rituals, and the unchallenged inequality that keep mothers dying in childbirth at a scandalous level in Sierra Leone. We pray, loving God, wipe away every tear from their eyes. And for the concerns of our hearts that are closer to home, the health of a loved one, our difficult political times, the economic uncertainties we fear, for the loneliness and grief that too many experience, for the tears of longing shed in darkness, we pray, loving God, wipe away every tear from our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Margaret. And we come now to sing to God and to thank him for being our shepherd, in whom we can place our trust no matter our circumstances in life. So we sing hymn 527. midwives of hope. Midwifery is one of the oldest professions for women. Women drawing us alongside another woman, maybe a sister, maybe a daughter, maybe a niece, maybe a neighbour, drawing alongside them in childbirth, helping them to bring life into the world, to bring hope and realisation of all that that pregnant mother is hoping for. Not just the mother and the father and the family, but the whole community are excited and look forward to the birth of a new child into the community. And we know that ourselves this week, whilst it may not have been a child born into our family here in First Oma, there was great anticipation this week about the birth of a child. In fact, it wasn't just here in Oma, there was excitement. There was excitement across the UK and right across the world as we wondered, would this week be the week when Meghan and Harry's baby would be born? And true enough, Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor was born healthy and vibrant and a real joy to his parents and to his grandparents and to his great-grandparents. Now, we still don't know where the child was born. We don't know whether they were born in a hospital or whether he was born at home, but we can be assured that surrounding Meghan, there were lots of people to help. Her mother, I'm sure, was present, along with midwives and I'm sure a whole raft of medical and nursing professionals bringing this new child into the world. It is a joy to see the miracle of life coming into being. And we're fascinated by it, aren't we? Our television programmes are filled with it, from Call the Midwife to One Born Every Minute. I have to say, I haven't watched One Born Any Minutes because I couldn't bear the thought of watching it. And I rarely watch Call the Midwife because it usually leaves me in floods of tears. But I know that they're very popular. And in a sense, it is. It's the wonder and the joy of life. But we can see as well in that series, Call the Midwife, that was shown and set in the 1960s, that those early midwives were initially nuns from a convent who were seeking to help young women in the East End of London, and then other nurses came to join them. And the conditions in which they worked were primitive, and the scenes that we see in Call the Midwife are shocking to our 21st century eyes, and yet it's really just over 50 years of a difference between the two timeframes. Now, in 2019, we have much improved health services, which result in fewer children dying in childbirth and fewer mothers dying as a result of childbirth here in the United Kingdom. Though sadly, we cannot say that it's completely eradicated, but certainly the numbers of people who have lost their lives either as babies or as mothers have reduced significantly. And the picture on the right-hand side was taken last week because last Friday was National Midwife Friday. And there was a display in the Oma Hospital and Primary Care Complex where our local midwives, community midwives, were having a coffee sale. And so they are there to help the people, the women in our community, to safely prepare for and to have their babies delivered. And we are rejoice in that and in the hope that comes from the birth of a new child. It's often a very dramatic event in a family's life, particularly when it's the first child in a family. And it's always been dramatic. There's always been that chance of life and death as a woman goes into labour. And it's always been the case, and our scripture reading that we read in Exodus, that Valerie read for us, highlights the role of two midwives in Egypt, Shifra and Puah. They were not 100% sure if they were actually Hebrew women themselves or whether they were Egyptian women who helped the Hebrew women give birth. But they are two women that are named in the Old Testament. And, you know, we need to pay close attention whenever Scripture names someone. Why were their names mentioned? Shifra and Puah. The Pharaoh who took over the land of Egypt. He was not named. We don't know what his name was, but we do know who these two midwives were. And we know who they were because they spoke up. They spoke out and they acted for justice and for life. You see, the Pharaoh in Egypt at that time didn't like the fact that the Israelites were growing so numerous, and so his plan was to kill off the male heirs. Then any future children that would be born, the women would have to marry Egyptians, and therefore the Israelite nation would dwindle. And so he gave out this order that all male babies should be killed. That put Shipra and Puah in a huge dilemma. What were they to do? Were they to obey the Pharaoh, carry out his orders, and live a good and prosperous life? Or were they to do what they'd been called to do as women, which was to safely bring children to birth? They chose life. They chose not to follow the commands of Pharaoh, but instead to let the baby boys live. It's always difficult, isn't it? Always challenging when you're in a situation where an instruction, maybe from a boss, maybe a piece of legislation from the government, something that challenges our core beliefs in God. How are we to respond? Well, we respond like those Egyptian midwives, in obedience and in choosing life and not destroying life. They chose to let those babies live. They chose to put their own lives at risk by disobeying the orders of the Pharaoh in order that there may be hope for the Israelite nation. When challenged by Pharaoh, "How come these baby boys are still living? I told you to kill them." They said, they come up with a fabricated story. They were ingenious in saying, "Well, these women, they've given birth before we even arrived. There's nothing that we could have done." Again, they acted to save the people of Israel. And we can learn three lessons from these Hebrew midwives. First of all, they feared God more than they feared men. They were willing to obey God rather than to obey the wrongful act of men and women. And so we are to do the same. We are to seek to follow God in all his ways and to stand up against injustice and oppression and slavery wherever we see it, being willing to speak out and to speak for life and the support of other people in whatever way we need to, whether that's because of an injustice that's taking place in our workplace, that we are prepared to speak up and speak the truth, whether that's a result of a difficulty and a trial that's going on in our society, that we're willing to speak out and to speak the truth and to act in ways which are consistent with Christian faith, and not giving in to the powers of authority, but instead doing that which is right. Putting God first in our lives and seeking to follow him. The second value that we learn from these women is to value life itself. To be focused on giving life and hope and light to others rather than focusing on the needs of self. Focusing on our own power and our own position in society to the detriment of another person's ability to thrive. So we as Christians have a responsibility not just for ourselves and in our own community, but for throughout the world, to be people who enrich life, who encourage life, who enable life to flow and to give hope to people in need. That's what Christian Aid is all about. It's looking at areas where life is challenging, where there's difficulty because of poverty and oppression and injustice, and it works tirelessly in order to give value to life and to bring hope to communities. And so we as Christians are encouraged to do the same, to choose to support that which brings life and hope and light and happiness to others, even if it puts our own lives at risk, or even if there's a cost associated to our lives in speaking out and speaking up for justice. And the third thing that we learn from this passage is that God saw the righteous acts of Shipra and Puah, and he blessed them, and he gave them families of their own. And that reminds us that the Lord God is Lord over all things, and he sees and he knows how we live and how we act. And when we choose to follow him, when we choose to live lives that bring life and light and hope to others, then he will bless us in this world and in the world to come. Those two women didn't have great skills. We don't know if they were well educated, but they used what they had for the benefit of others. So what about you? What gifts and abilities has God given to you? And how do you use them for the benefit of others? In your workplaces, in your families, and in your communities. Each person is gifted in their own way, and each of us has a responsibility to exercise that gift to bring light and life to others. Christian Aid is seeking to do that in Sierra Leone, where they are training midwives like Judith to help to reduce the number of children who die in childbirth and the number of women who die. In Sierra Leone, 10 women die giving birth every day, and 1 in 9 babies do not reach their 5th birthday. 10 women die in childbirth every day, and 1 in 9 babies do not reach their 5th birthday. And so Christian Aid are seeking to empower people and communities through the building of hospitals and clinics and the training of healthcare professionals like Judith, so that they can help women in those communities, women like Tina, who we saw on the story, who lost her first child and because there were no nurse available, and was very fearful whenever she fell pregnant the second time. The second time, Judith was there and was able to deliver her baby to her safely. And so she's rejoicing. And the whole community are now also supporting financially the building of the hospital. They're doing what they can to support their hospital, and then Christian Aid are then supplementing that to enable the facility to be there for these young women. You will have heard of the Ebola crisis that hit in 2014. The Ebola crisis was a disease that struck people, and it was transmitted through touch. And because of the rituals in when someone dies, the ritual washing of a body, the disease was spread pandemically right across the whole of that region, and particularly in Sierra Leone. And they lost 10% of their healthcare workers because of that Ebola outbreak. So they are struggling to meet the needs of that they were providing in 2014, never mind increasing that. And they're also trying to educate the people with regards to hand washing. You would have seen in the video that they were washing their hands very thoroughly. Again, an opportunity to educate people to restrict the spread of the disease should it break out again. And also trying to change the way they do their rituals when someone passes away, that they wear protective clothing so that the germs don't get passed. So these lessons are being learned by Christian Aid and by other healthcare professionals in Sierra Leone, and they're seeking to implement that in an education program right across the country. So it's more than just supporting a nurse, it's supporting communities and educating and enabling them to take care of themselves to reduce the risks from death. So what can we do to help? Well, our response, of course, as Christians, is to pray, to bring our situation before our loving God, to plead for justice and righteousness to be shown in our own country, in our own nation, in the way in which we support the third world countries, and also pray for those who are seeking to do great work in countries in Africa and in Europe and in South America, seeking to address a lot of the imbalances, the injustice and the oppression that takes place of people there. We can bring all of that before God in prayer, asking for his help and his guidance, and being open to receiving the response that we must respond ourselves. Because we pray, God will change our hearts so that they will more easily reflect his heart of love and compassion. And so we will be willing to give, whether that's to give financially now, this week in Christian Aid, to support the work of Christian Aid Week through the envelopes that are in the pews, and the opportunity with our lunch to provide a donation to this year's project. You may think about your own financial givings. Obviously, you give a certain amount to the church here, but think about how could you support those in need in other places across the world. You could support them through a regular donation with Christian Aid or Tear Fund or a particular charity that's close to your heart, doing what you have or what you can to help those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Christian Aid also share the story of a midwife called Margaret, who was she was a midwife, and then in later years she went into hospital to have eye surgery, and when she woke up she was being cared for by an African nurse, and she decided at that moment that she was going to support women in Africa, because she nurses in Africa, because she had received the support from this one nurse, such caring professional nursing. And so she set up a legacy that when she died, that the money would go to help nurses and a health program in Sierra Leone. Sadly, she passed away in 2015, but a program, the Ellis Hadwin Health Legacy, was set up in her name. And as a result of that health programme, Judith received her training that enabled her to help Tena. So there in 2015, the sad passing of a midwife has given life to other midwives and enabled them to give life in their communities. That's another thing that we could be thinking about, is whether we would like to give a donation in our wills. And then finally, we can act. Christian Aid are very aware of the pressures that are on the country of Sierra Leone because of the Ebola outbreak. And so they have asked if Christians throughout the UK would be willing to petition the government to cancel the loans that were lent to Sierra Leone because of the Ebola crisis. They are unable to support their own health clinics and provide training and providing ambulances and trained nurses because they have to pay back the debt that was lent to them in the middle of that crisis. So we could do our bit, if we wish, if you want to appeal to the Chancellor of the Exchequer here in the UK and asking him to cancel Sierra Leone's debts to enable that country to focus on improving their healthcare and enabling them to have the money and the facilities available to support their health system. So that's one way of acting to help others. So finally, we have a prayer of dedication that I would encourage you to say along with me. I hope you can read the words. I'll read them through first of all, and it says, "Wherever we follow him, may we all be midwives of hope, bringing fullness of life to our communities, and standing together for equality, for dignity, for justice in the world." So please say it after me if you feel that you're able to do that. Wherever we follow him, may we all be midwives of hope, bringing fullness of life to our communities, and standing together for equality, for dignity, for justice in the world. Amen. And so your offerings to God will be received. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resources that you so generously have given to us as a nation and as a people. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have to love and serve you here in our own communities. So we pray, O Lord, that you would challenge us to speak out for those who face injustice and oppression throughout the world. And we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our offerings, and that you would use them to eradicate poverty across the world and to bring justice and freedom for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We bring our service to a close as we sing our final hymn, 617, for the healing of the nations. And because of the tune that we've set it to, we will repeat the last line on each verse. Hymn 617, for the healing of the nations. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.